This series of Let's Make It Rain is sponsored by PensionBee, a leading online pension provider. They're on a mission to make pensions simple so that customers all over the UK can become pension confident and save for a happy retirement. PensionBee's website and app make it simple for customers to combine their old pension pots, contribute flexibly, and withdraw their pension money all in one place. PensionBee offers a range of pension plans for different savings needs, from a flexible self-employed plan to socially responsible plans like their Impact Plan or Sharia Compliant Plan. Head to pensionbee.com or download the app to get started and become pension confident. Remember, when investing, your capital is at risk. And speaking of investing, you've probably heard me say before that we are our own biggest asset by far, and that includes investing in the next generation. I wrote Cash is Queen exclusively for preteen and teenage girls to equip them with everything they need to take control of their financial futures early. It's been translated into 5 languages and is available worldwide. So grab a copy for you and a friend today. Hi, and welcome to the Let's Make It Rain podcast. I'm your host, Davinia Tomlinson. This podcast is for the rainmakers. Those women who are breaking down walls, building their own empires, defying convention and rejecting stereotypes. Women who are unafraid to have open, honest conversations about money among friends and to share the truths we've been told to keep secret. Don't forget to subscribe, share and download wherever you usually get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, then please leave us a 5-star review. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Let's Make It Rain podcast today. I'm pleased to be joined by my friend, Daniela Genus. Daniela is a business growth strategist, TEDx speaker and founder of Be The Boss International. Daniela, thank you so much for being here today because I know that you are a mom of 2, including a 7-month-old. So congratulations on that 7-month-old. We haven't even spoken since she was born. And just before we started recording, we were having a conversation about the realities of running a business whilst being mom to not so much a newborn, but not far off. So hopefully we can get into that and some of the, if not challenges, certainly some of the quirks associated with the business of motherhood. But first, I'd like to talk to you about Be The Boss International. So I remember, I wonder whether it was in lockdown or maybe just before lockdown, and you'd invited me onto your brilliant YouTube series, which I think might have been called She's The Boss. And I remember being so honored.
Yes, it was.
I was so honored to have been invited onto that because I'd been watching other entrepreneurs and thinking, oh, I'd love to, you know, do an interview with this woman. She's amazing. And I didn't know you at that time. And of course, now several years later, I, having followed your journey and learned so much about how you run your business and businesses, I should say, to perfection. And systems and processes are really pivotal to your story. And, you know, what you teach, what you share, budding entrepreneurs, more seasoned entrepreneurs in, I suppose, establishing and cementing their businesses and then scaling them. Can you talk to us about that?
I sure can. So firstly, thank you for having me. It's a joy and an honor also to be here. So my kind of fascination, because that's what I'm going to call it at the moment, my fascination and obsession with business systems and processes was really born out of my experience running my first business with no systems or processes and really building a business that was very much reliant on me. Even though I had a team of staff, everything really fell on me essentially. And when I wasn't able to be in the business for a variety of different reasons, the business could not continue. The primary reason being that I was about to have a baby and the staff that I had literally couldn't operate without my presence. In addition to that, I regularly experienced burnout because I was doing so much. I was what I kind of now deem a busy fool, just running around doing
loads of things.
But yeah, like running, I'm doing everything. But really, am I making the money that is needed? Am I spending time working on the things that are going to bring the biggest impact to the business? Not really. I was just doing stuff. And after I sold the business, I got really committed to kind of understanding what are the key success factors of a sustainable growth business. So a business that is able to grow sustainably. So not just grow and then fizzle out. And one of the key areas, so there was a number of areas that I kind of identified and developed a framework, which I called VISA, which stands for Vision, Innovation, Strategy, Systems and Processes, and Accountability. So systems and processes was a key element of what I identified as being a key success factor for businesses to achieve sustainable growth. And I became slightly obsessed with understanding how best to go about implementing appropriate and robust systems within a business, the importance of processes and mapping processes, and kind of looking at all of the elements that were associated with that. A key book that I read very early on, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael E. Gerber, I never know how to pronounce it. And that had such a profound impact on me. And I'm like, actually, I am a technician. I was good at events, so I started an events company. And then I was doing everything. I wasn't a business owner. And I definitely wasn't an entrepreneur, even though I had lots of entrepreneurial ideas. And I kind of showed elements of entrepreneurial thinking. But in practice, I was just a technician. And I kind of used that book and my other kind of research and stuff that I'd explored to start supporting other business owners with looking at how they can build a business that not only is able to grow sustainably, but also is not reliant on them, that removes them from being a technician in their business to being an entrepreneur, being somebody that generates money in their business without having to commit 100% of their time all of the time. And there's a number of benefits of kind of taking that approach to business. And not everybody wants to. And that's something that I'm very clear on. Some people actually enjoy the hustle culture and work all the time. But as a parent, as a wife, as a friend, as somebody that enjoys sitting on the beach, clearly not as much as you because you made the transition and I didn't, or haven't yet, let me be clear.
Exactly.
Really. I don't want to be in the business all the time. I love what I do, thoroughly enjoy it. I love making the impact on my clients. But do I want to wake up at 6 a.m. and be doing that from 6 a.m. all the way through to midnight and not be able to go to family functions, not be able to settle, not be able to give my children, now at the time it was only one, but not be able to devote the time that they need? And actually, no, I don't. So I formulated what I call the Build My Business framework. And actually, I didn't initially formulate it. What I just did is I shared my teachings with the clients that I worked with and took quite a pragmatic approach to showing them what I think they should do, which was to map processes, to document processes, to improve processes, and to create the resources within their businesses to accompany those processes so that their team or any outsourced support were able to do some of the jobs that they're probably doing that's not necessarily giving their business the most value or adding the most impact. And in going through that, I had a client of mine that said, Daniela, you've said all this stuff and I understand why I need to do it. And you also told me to do it about a year ago and I haven't done it. Can you just do it for me? Because I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. Right. You told me, but to be honest, I really don't want to do it. And that was how Build My Business was formulated. So it was to provide a service for this specific client. And it's really just grown from there. And I've looked at other things such as automations, looking at how you can incorporate AI, looking at kind of having more of a holistic approach to the business of systems within a business. So even looking at things such as pricing, looking at the kind of offer stack, because all of those things impact whether the business is going to be reliant on them. And I specifically work with service businesses because it's service businesses that I feel that I can add the most value to, but also helping them look at how they can take their intellectual property and productize it so that they can create revenue streams that are not necessarily solely and wholly tied to them taking time out to deliver. And whilst I myself do one-to-one work and I do group programs, etc., I also have a range of digital products that have enabled me to then generate sales within my business that are no longer time dependent. And in terms of my own growth strategy, that's where I'm placing priority.
You know, you've said so much in that response. And I think, I mean, the first thing to say, and I'm going to dance around a little bit here, but I love that book, E-Myth. So I think for anybody that is an entrepreneur and, you know, we're often seeking inspiration, but it's such a solid book. I mean, I don't even think it's particularly new anymore, but, you know, and that I suppose is testament to the value that you derive from it. You know, those books that might be decades old, but it doesn't matter. You know, technology evolves, society evolves, the way we do things evolve, but actually the principles that you learn about, whether it's about, you know, an approach to developing a positive money mindset or investing or establishing, you know, a sustainable business, those principles endure. So The E-Myth is a brilliant book. I have no affiliation with the author. I don't even know who the author is, but just for anybody listening, in case you're seeking inspiration, that's a good one. So thank you for that, Daniela. You've used this word a number of times in your response, which is around sustainability. And that word particularly chimes with me for a number of reasons. One, not least, because I am also an entrepreneur, of course. And so when you set up a business, we are all, even if we can't, you know, when you're in that startup mode, you're just trying to get the business off the ground and there's high adrenaline, high excitement and enthusiasm. And you're just trying to get from one quarter to the next in the first instance, before you then start planning and trying to future-proof your business and enable it to adapt to, you know, prevailing trends and meet the needs of your client base. But sustainability is so important. And, you know, of course, there are parallels with personal finance as well. You know, at Raincheck, we talk about helping women build sustainable long-term wealth. This is not about getting rich overnight. It's not even about getting rich quickly, but it's about having that, you know, I always say that kind of sticky wealth that can endure for, you know, and stand the test of time. That's really, really important. So sustainability, I think, is a theme, you know, that we return to. But I think the thing that resonated most with me in what you said is about, you know, the idea of being a busy fool. And, you know, I laughed when you said that because I can often feel that way. And when I do feel that way, that's when I know I need to pause. That's when I know, you know, typically because of my personality, you know, I'm someone that is so high energy that I'm like, you know, I'm just going to power through. And you can be powering through these brick walls. And the energy and the effort that's associated with you just, you know, continuing come what may. Of course, it's a good quality to have that kind of perseverance and determination. But of course, you burn yourself out when actually there is an alternative route that you could take if you just pause and go, you know what, what's really the friction here? Where is the friction in this process? And I often do a process where I'm looking at value chain. And I will say to the rainmakers, let's look at your value chain. And it could be, you know, there are leaks in the value chain from a personal finance perspective around you might be cash rich, but you're not investing in assets that are going to help you to generate income while you're sleeping, for example. You might not have established a solid financial foundation, so your cash flow looks all over the place. And so you're leaking. There are these micro leaks when it comes to your money management that mean whilst you, from your perspective, you're like, actually, broadly speaking, I feel like I know what's going on with my money, but then there are these little things. It could be a subscription you forgot about, or it could be some of the ways that we use, you know, fintech, whether it be contactless payments or paying for things on our smartwatch or whatever it is that you don't even count as you having spent. But in a day, those micro expenditures add up to a lot of money, you know, across a day or a week or a month. And then you realize, oh, actually, that's where there is a fault or a problem or a leak, as I say, in terms of my personal finance value chain. So it's really important that we are able to pause, take a step back, and instead of just, you know, going and going relentlessly. And, you know, when I think about my business and, you know, all the twists and turns that Raincheck has taken, and, you know, I often pride myself on the fact that, you know, we have been able to be agile. We have moved from this purely one-to-one approach to being able to do groups, to being able to have hybrid content where it's recorded and it's in person so that, you know, my rainmakers feel like they're getting access to me, but that they can't exclusively have access to me so they can get the content in their own time, which is beneficial for them. And it's also beneficial for me because I was at the point of, I love this so much. I love speaking to the rainmakers, giving them everything that I had, and I had nothing left for myself. So what I did have left went to the girls. And I was just, you know, honestly, like a dehydrated husk because I'd given everything that I had. There was no system. Nobody could get any access to the content. So from the Rainmaker's perspective, yes, they were seeing me show up week after week. But if they ever wanted to capture any of the content, of course, those sessions were recorded. But if they wanted to kind of leap ahead and then come to the session with their questions, the content wasn't available for them in advance. And so it was thinking about, you know, how can I introduce a more systems-based approach to this that means that I can remove myself a bit. I can lean back a bit. It doesn't mean the rainmakers are going to get any less value from me. But what I would hope is that they get a more enhanced experience because they want to see me and I want to see them. But when I show up for them, I want to show up not a dehydrated husk. I want to show up for them radiating and beaming so that, you know, everybody leaves on high energy. And that was really where systems came into it. But, you know, you said not everybody wants to do this. there are some people that actually want the hustle. They want that hustle culture. And I can see how that's addictive, actually, particularly in this era of social media. If you're following entrepreneurs, there is very much an entrepreneur culture and mindset and some quite, I would say, damaging messages, particularly for women,
Toxic. Particularly
for mothers, if you are immersed in that world and if you are super ambitious, where you feel like, gosh, that's the way to success. And if I'm not giving it 24 hours a day or at least 23 hours a day, then I failed and I don't have capacity for that. So you know what, actually, even though I've got a brilliant idea for my business and I think that I could be really good at setting up and running a business, I'm going to tap out because I haven't got 23 hours a day. What would you say to those people that maybe are on the outside looking in at this kind of hustle culture and thinking that's the only way to succeed and thrive as an entrepreneur?
Stop looking at those people.
Yes.
Most of them are miserable. Most of them are miserable, sick, have mental health problems. I say most, I don't know that for a fact, but I know many people that there's one person in particular I know really buys into this hustle culture, no balance, go, 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 who has children and a wife, and he's not present. And the children and the wife are very aware of that. And I think one of the things that is really important that we have to remember, particularly if you're a parent, the future is not promised. I think we are very, 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 particularly in this social media time, we're very arrogant. We feel like we're going to be here forever. There's always time for stuff. So right now I'm going to work myself into the ground and forget the fact that I haven't seen my kids in a week or haven't taken my wife for dinner or me and my husband haven't done anything together for a month. I'll do that when the kids are older and when I've made my money. But what happens if you don't get there? There's a book, and I keep quoting this and I really need to work out where I got it from. But there's a book that I read. I don't remember what the book was about, if I'm honest. But the story that I remember was a gentleman was working really, really hard because he wanted to retire at 50. So he was working all the hours that God sends, working on the weekends, missing out on family time. His kids were resentful, but he was like, it's fine. I'm going to make all this money and then you're going to be happy that I've made all this money. And he did retire by 50. And then he died a week later mowing his lawn. And I remember reading that saying, wowee, absolutely not. No, I'm not buying into that. And actually, that's what these kind of online hustle toxicity gurus, as I call them, are not mentioning, the fact that tomorrow is not promised. And actually, I love working in my business. I love working on my business. But you know what I love more? Spending time with my kids.
Yeah.
I love my daughter coming and saying, you're the best mom in the world. Like, that brings me joy.
Bless her.
I love that. And actually, it's important to have boundaries. It's important. And here's the thing. And the person that I referred to earlier, one of the things they said to me is they don't believe in boundaries. If you really want to be a success, you have to go hard in business. You have to go give it 110,000%. And also somebody else said to me before, if you are so good at what you do, why are you not already rich? And my answer was quite simple. I could have been rich 5 years ago, but actually I also could have had a disengaged relationship with my husband and my daughter and my family and my friends. And actually, what is most important to me, it's important to me to have a successful business, which I do. Am I a millionaire yet? No, I am not. But I'd rather wait for another couple of years to hit that point and know that I've reached that point with the love and support of my family and friends, not in spite of their complaints and concerns. And I think that's what we really, one of the things, so I talk a lot about systems, but I also talk a lot about vision. And part of my vision includes being able to spend as much time as possible with my friends and family, and not in that particular order, my family and friends. And actually going, do you know what I mean? Going down this hustle, hustle, hustle route doesn't guarantee that. And actually it can burn you out, and it can, in all fairness and not even being dramatic, it can kill you.
Yes, it can.
If you're in a sustained mode of stress all the time, which actually when you're kind of hustling in business, that's what it is. You may not realize that's what it is, but you're operating in stress, and sustained stress can lead to significant issues. When I used to do that YouTube series, several of the women that I spoke to had experienced severe burnout.
Mm.
Somebody passed out whilst recording a podcast. Somebody else couldn't speak for 4 weeks. Two of the people that I interviewed had severe adrenal failure and now have fibromyalgia and ME. That is what happens when you operate in sustained stress. So when I teach what I teach, when I do what I do, when I tell people don't pay attention to these toxicity gurus, it's because it's bad for your health. It really is. And this is why it's important to work smarter, not harder. So my focus isn't how do I become rich tomorrow? Because I know in order to become rich, it may not happen tomorrow. I need to work smart, not hard.
Agreed. And also prioritize what's important.
Yeah. Those things that are important, I'm not able to have them. Like one of the benefits of me being able to run my business is that I can do the school run, which I hate, to be honest. I'm not really a big fan of sitting in traffic.
Yeah, but me either.
I love seeing my daughter's face when she comes out of school and she sees me. Yes. I love that. And if I was working all the time, I wouldn't be able to do that. And I don't want, like, I'm not sacrificing joy just so that I can be on Instagram saying I worked from 6 a.m. till midnight and I do that every day. And if you want to be a success, then you do that. Mate, no. If you want to kill yourself and age yourself, I'm trying to stay looking young, to be honest. So I'm not. Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to look 50 when I'm 40. That doesn't make any sense to me. So no, don't pay attention to those people. Focus on what is important to you and work out the best and most effective way for you to achieve that, even if it means it may take you a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, Daniela, you have shared before about your vision. I've seen posts that you've done on LinkedIn. I've seen videos that you've posted. And it's so important, I think, as business owners and just as rainmakers in general, that we are clear. It's one of the things that I stress to the rainmakers all the time, that, you know, our path and our route to joy, happiness, and what wealth means to us will differ. But it's still important that we are clear on what that vision looks like for us. And, you know, as you've touched on, you know, from my perspective, I was always clear that I wanted to live near the sea. I wanted to raise my daughters steeped in Caribbean culture. And when I made that transition, you know, it was a long time in the making, from, you know, initial idea through to how can I actually make this work with two small children, through to, you know, how are we going to acclimatize into this new culture? Yes, it's an island that I'm familiar with from having grown or spent, shouldn't say grown up here, but having spent summer holidays and Christmas holidays here from the age of 4 up until an adult, but it's still quite different from relocating and being in a place. I often say, you know, it's one of the best decisions I ever made. And having that clarity of vision, why is that important to you? What are you hoping to achieve? Has helped to, I suppose, keep me going in the times when I think, oh my God, what have I done? Or this is so hard. But then I remember, but Dav, it's almost choose your hard, because there was the hard of you living in London, running your business, having access to all of the amazing networks, having access to all of the amazing events, being invited to things, being invited to speak at things, being able to show up in person for your business, but actually going home and being so utterly drained. And I wouldn't say I was unhappy at all. I absolutely love London. It remains one of my favorites, if not my favorite city in the world. But I realized that I wasn't living, I was just existing. I was working such long hours that I barely saw the girls. And at that time, they would have been really small. You know, they're almost 7 and 10 now. And that still feels like, you know, they are young, but they're not going to stay, you know, or blink and they'll be teenagers. And they're not going to want me to pick them up from school anymore. They're not going to want me to take them to their dance lesson or their gymnastics lesson or whatever it may be. I was very vivid. I was very clear in that picture that I'd created and that I'd conjured of, what does your dream life look like? You know, what would you ask for if you knew the answer was going to be yes? It's a question that I pose to the rainmakers all the time. And I was very clear in my mind what that picture looked like. But the one thing that it struck me about having made that transition is that, and I saw this, you know, it's a really Instagrammable quote, but I love it because it's so powerful. And it's that wherever you go, there you are. And basically, you know, sometimes if you might feel like, you know, I hate this existence, so I'm going to move somewhere else, or I hate this job and I'm going to get a better job. And you move and you think you're getting the better job, but ultimately the challenges that you might have associated with that job are actually more to do with how you feel about yourself, your level of self-confidence, your level of self-esteem. And so really it's more about saying, well, let me go inward. Let me look inwardly instead of looking outward all the time, and let me unpick, how can I be happy in any particular space? Because the thing that I would always pride myself on is I will bloom wherever I'm planted. Yes, there are ideal locations that I'd like to be in, or ideal opportunities that I would like to thrive within or be offered. But ultimately, I'm taking myself into all of those spaces. I am the common denominator. So what work can I do on myself to make sure that I'm resilient enough, that I am grateful enough, that I am joyous enough in these different moments and different opportunities. So from your perspective, what kind of worker, because it's a two-parter really, because I want to talk about your vision and your North Star, but also more importantly, what work do you do on yourself as a business owner, as someone that is helping others to build these sustainable businesses, on mindset and making sure you've got the right mindset that's attuned to helping you set those boundaries and establish that balance, whatever balance looks like for you, because balance for you might be 90% in one sphere and 10% in another. It's not 50-50, as we know. What does that look like for you?
It looks like a few things. Number one, it looks like having a counsellor. I am a very big proponent of making sure that your mental health is always intact. Like what I do, I'm not a therapist, right? So generally I'm dealing with people and their business problems, but actually your business and your life, as I often say, are intertwined. And sometimes whilst dealing with business issues, I end up dealing with people's personal issues. I have people burst into tears on our Zoom calls.
I've had that too.
Very frequently, yeah, to be honest. And actually, yeah, and it can be quite heavy, and trying to get people out of those situations can be quite hard. And sometimes it can bring stuff up in myself. So I have a counsellor. In fact, it's been, I haven't seen her for a couple of months, but there was a period, particularly when I was finding business quite tough when I was pregnant last year, I was seeing the counsellor every week because I needed to talk through what was going on and frustrations and struggles and challenges. So that's one thing. The other thing is also making sure that I always have a coach that I work with. So I'm working with a coach at the moment, and I'm part of an accelerator group program, which I'm really enjoying, which I didn't think I'd enjoy actually, because I'm quite impatient. Because of that, I don't necessarily like always being part of group things, because when people are asking questions and taking too long, it irritates me, which is something that I'm working on, to be honest. And actually, same. I'm really happy that I committed to this group program, because when I realized that the coach was also getting the coaching, had to come with being part of this group thing, I was just like, oh my gosh, because I just, that means stupid questions. And I've said no to things like this before. And actually, I'm slightly happy that I didn't do that this time, because I've really enjoyed being part of a community, separate from a community that I have created.
Yeah.
Because obviously I've got my own community, but I'm in charge of
it
that.
It flexes a different muscle, doesn't it? Being part of a different community.
Yeah. And not being the one that has to have all the answers all the time is great. So I've really enjoyed that. And having a coach that I can go to that boosts me, that supports me, that helps hold me accountable, that challenges me, that really does for me what I do for other people. And that's what I find really important. I believe in accountability and I believe in support. And therefore, I've always had somebody in my corner. So this is, I think, my third coach. And not because anything was wrong with the first two, but they were working with me for specific things at specific times. And right now, I'm in a specific season, so I'm working with this coach. So yeah, so that's kind of, I also listen to podcasts. I read, listen to Audible, and try to read the books physically in my hand, which with a little baby and an 8-year-old is proving a little bit more difficult. So I've gone back to Audible and listening to books as opposed to trying to read them. And also making sure that I'm spending time doing things that I enjoy. So going to the spa, making sure that I get my hair done every month. I've got an ongoing appointment to make sure that I look and feel my best. I feel my best when I look my best, which is very important to me. And that really helps me stay kind of feeling confident, I suppose. A lot of the stuff I do with my clients, I do for myself. So vision, for example, I do something called Vision 20 process, and I do that with my clients, but I do it with myself every year and I review it.
Let's talk about that, Daniela. Let's talk about your Vision 20 process and why Jamaica is such a big part of your vision.
Jamaica is my happy place. It's the place where I feel the absolute happiest. And I'm not unhappy here in England, but I am unhappy when it rains. I am unhappy when it's cold. I'm unhappy when it's raining. I'm unhappy when it's grey. And I am somebody that watches the weather every single day. And I do count, like I count. So for example, this last week, I keep counting. Well, it got cold in October, November, December, January, February, March, April. So that's 6 months and it's still cold. Like what? Why are we in cold for 6 months?
It's going to turn the corner in May.
But even if it does, that's like 50% of the year is dark and cold. Why am I living like this? My main goal, well, my current goal and all my current vision is to get to a point where I can travel to Jamaica basically every school holiday. So half terms, definitely December, Easter, May half term, even the October half term. to be in Jamaica, and then the longer term vision is to relocate. Now, the problem I'm having is I always talk about specificity with vision. So with my Vision 20 process, that's what it's about. It's about getting razor sharp clarity and being as specific as possible about what it is that you want from a, both a business, but also a life perspective. I often find that there's lots of people that will do like vision boards for life and that kind of thing, or there's like specific business planning for your business. And what we do with Vision 20 is we marry the two, because they are married. Like, what happens in your business affects what happens in your life, and what's happening in your life affects what's happening in your business. Now, where I'm struggling is because I do want to relocate. I don't want to stay in the UK. And I kept saying I wanted to relocate to Jamaica. And I feel like I still do. But I also know that there's plenty of other places that I've never seen that actually I may love more than Jamaica. So Kenya is somewhere that has been on my hot list for a number of years. So actually, I'm going to be going to Kenya in February next year and looking at that as an option, because, yeah, I don't like not having my own specificity, if that makes sense. But Jamaica is still like, Jamaica is my happy place. I love it. And my kind of particular situation, I'm married to a Nigerian. So it's been trying to convince him that Jamaica, as opposed to Nigeria, is our forever place. And it wasn't really working, to be honest. But after our last trip, we spent a month in Jamaica over the Christmas period. And even he was like, actually, maybe he was converted. Yeah, because he loved it, because he was working part time. So like, he worked for, I think, maybe the first 10 days that we were there, and then he was off for the rest of the time. But the opportunity to live and work there, obviously, it was only a month. We worked there for a year. But normally when we go, it's just holiday and fun. Whereas this time he actually worked. And that experience for him, he said, actually, this could work, because I'm working early in the morning. Then the afternoons, we're going to the pool, we're going to the beach, right, we're going to the bar, we're going to wherever it is that we're going. Oh, we're not nice. Just locked up in the house like we are here in the UK. So
in so December, we're kind of,
yeah, definitely in December.
It's a complete lifestyle shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And kind of what you said about growing up by the sea, I'm personally a bit scared of the sea. So I don't know if I want to have my kids by the sea. Yeah, I think my own psychology is telling me that it's some sort of like post-slavery syndrome or something. But seeing open water with no end really scares the life out of me. It's very peculiar.
Wow.
So I'll
You're
go
the
into
first
the sea.
Person I've heard say that. I love that. It's, interesting. Yeah.
It's weird. Like, I'll go to the sea, I'll go to the beach.
It's amazing,
and I love
the
going
way
to
people
the beach.
Frame things.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. I can't look out. Like, if I look out and I can't see land on the other side, I put my head
and
down.
And I love the looking out.
Oh, it scares the life out of me.
Yeah, I love the kind of the infinite nature of it. That's one of my favourite things.
No. I love going to like the Keys, so that you're in the middle of the sea, but when you look around, there's land. Like, it's far out, but there's land. Like,
yes.
That's what I like.
That is hilarious. But that's because, yeah, you like the, I think, and the thing is, I mean, I would say it's almost testament to the kind of business that you run, like having that clarity, you know, not having those elements of uncertainty in your business, for example, mm-hmm. and being like, you know, what's happening around the corner? And, you know, you would have a process for that. So, you know, there are no big surprises or shocks. Yes, you want your entrepreneurs to be agile and able to withstand shocks, but you want to also make sure that they are equipped and ready to deal with them as they might present themselves. But, you know, Daniela, you've touched on your husband. And I always like to get into these conversations because I think, you know, whilst some people might say, oh, you know, would you ask a male entrepreneur that? Yes, I absolutely would, because the things that people, all of us are most interested in when we have these kinds of conversations is, you know, relationships. When we're talking about money, how does it impact? How does it come up in your relationship? How are we interacting with other people? What are some of the highs and lows? What advice, you know, might you have? You know, we talk all the time about at Raincheck about, you know, making sure that you and your partner are on the same page financially. And if you're not, then how can you find a bridge between you so that you can get closer to being on the same page, that your spending and saving habits are aligned, so that you don't store up problems for future. And as an entrepreneur, we know what we've heard from a number of other very senior, very powerful women in business, women in leadership, whether or not they are entrepreneurs or just, you know, C-suite execs in major corporations, but they always talk about the importance of not just being surrounded by the right person or people in your journey as an entrepreneur, but in particular, making sure that you choose the right partner. From your perspective, how is your relationship and your marriage, if not key to your business success, but certainly one of the, I suppose, linchpins of you being able to do what you do every day?
Yeah, it's something that I share a lot. I always put like one of the most important decisions that you can make as an entrepreneur is who you marry, because if you marry the wrong person, that can be detrimental to the outcomes of your business. And if you marry the right person, it can be incredibly positively impactful to the outcome of your business. I have been very lucky that I have a very supportive husband, and he is my number one cheerleader, I would say. He's always telling, even at times where I'm like, oh, just, I don't think it's going to work. I don't know. He's like, don't be ridiculous. Do you know who you are? Who you are? What do you mean? So
yeah, just casual like that. Like, do you know who you are? Hello.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So when, and particularly, it's weird. So I would say I'm very confident, but even in my confidence, I still have moments of uncertainty. Or the other thing, something will happen that's really big and I'll be excited and shocked, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And he'll be like, but why not? Well, of course. Again, do you know who you are? And I love that assuredness that he has in me to be able to achieve anything and everything. So every time I hit a new level in business, and it's weird, this is not to say that he downplays it, because that's not what I mean, but he's so much in belief that I'm going to hit what I say I'm going to hit,
yeah,
that it just doesn't
faze him. That's what comes across. Like,
of course.
Not that he downplays, but more that he is just so confident. He has such conviction in you, your abilities, what you've already done, and what you can go on to do with his support or even independently, that he's like, I don't know why you're doubting yourself, because there isn't even a question in my mind. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always like that. Full transparency, prior to starting this business, after what happened with me having to sell my first business and it was really successful, and during those times, yeah, he was all on board. When it started to go into kind of decline and then I sold it, there was a period where we really knocked heads, and he was like, look, you've got 2 degrees. You need to go and get a job. You're going to get paid so much more because of your experience, because of your education. Go and get a job. And I was just like, absolutely not. What are you talking about? I'm not getting a job. And at that time we wanted to purchase a house. So he was very much like, just get the job and then we'll buy the house and then you can go back and do business. And I was like, absolutely not. Because what will happen is we'll get used to the money. And then when I say I want to quit, you're going to say, well, no, because then what's going to happen to all the money? So I didn't get a job. What I did do, though, is I got a part-time, flexible, work from wherever you want contract doing what I wanted my business to do, which was the best. And he always takes credit for it because he's like, well, if I didn't tell you to get a job, you wouldn't have went and found that. Because I'm very much a speak it into existence and it will be. So at the time I said, the only job that I would get is if it's a contract, if it's part-time, if I could work from anywhere, if I'm working with business owners, if I don't have a boss that's checking in with me. I said all of it, and that's what was presented to me. And
his, oh my gosh, I love that.
Literally that. And he was just like,
that's
well,
powerful.
I told you. And then what that did is it gave me the flexibility, not only to run my business on the side, but also to test my methodologies with business owners that I never would have normally come into contact with. Because what I was doing was very specific. I ended up working with engineers, with people that do solar power farms, just really random stuff that I'd never heard of. And actually, I was used to working in the kind of creative sector, social enterprise, third sector. I wasn't used to working with more blue collar industries. And therefore, I wasn't sure if my methods would work in those industries. And actually, they did. And that really gave me additional confidence to go on and finish that contract and do the business full time. And yeah, my husband was right behind me when I said, look, I've done this for the contract got extended, I think twice. And then when it came to the last time, I was like, look, I'm not doing this again. It was only supposed to be for, I think it was supposed to be for 11 months. And I ended up doing it for about 2 and a bit years. And I said, it's the time now. So
yes, it's time.
Yeah. And he trusted that I knew what I was doing, and that's what I did. And I've not looked back since, and I've been able to pay myself every month the same amount and then more than what I was being paid in the contract, which was what I think I left in 2021. Yeah, so that was what, 3 years ago now. And yeah, it's just,
I love that, Daniela. And you know, in particular, what I like about what you shared is the transparency, because I think sometimes when we hear, you know, again with an Instagrammable quote, or I've heard Sheryl Sandberg say a similar thing about, you know, the most important career decision a woman will make is who she will marry. And I remember at the time there was a load of backlash, and all that, I mean, most women that I know were nodding like, well, yeah, that's just a no-brainer. Because actually we recognize those of us, you know, that have been in marriages that, you know, are trying to parent alongside it all. Even if you're not a parent, or you could be somebody that is single, but ultimately you're like, I am actively single because I cannot afford for somebody to come into my life and derail me. If they don't have the right energy, if they don't even need to agree with my route, but they do need to agree with my self-advocacy and my agency in making decisions that are best designed to suit me.
And if you've got kids, like I wrote this week for, well, next week in particular, I've got a program that I'm running on a Wednesday evening, a program that I'm running on a Thursday evening. On the Tuesday evening, I have a group coaching call. Monday just gone, I had a podcast recording in the evening. Tonight, I've got coaching call. Thursday, I've got another group program. Friday, I'm going to be out all day because I'm launching another program. Who's looking after the kids?
Exactly. Well, their father needs to step in and will actively step in and not be thinking of it as him doing you a favor or him babysitting, which is so important.
I don't have to
but
check.
I think people need to know and people need to hear that actually it wasn't a, oh, yes, Daniela, anything you say, I'm just going to go along with. No, there has to be a bit of, you almost need that stress testing, don't you, in the process of your husband being like, I don't know that's the right thing for us, actually. And you being so resolute that actually, no, I want to pursue this path. And then in the end, you found, you know, your equilibrium. But that is an important part of the conversation. So thank you for sharing, because I hope that, you know, others that might be in the fire right now can see that actually, no, we're going to get to the other side eventually, but we've got to have this storming process in which we, you know, thrash out all of our differences of opinion, but then we get to this norming position where we start to agree, you know, what does good look like for us? Not what it looks like for other people, but how will it suit us and how can we wrap it around our family and our household? So thank you so much. But I suppose based on that experience, Daniela, and all the work that you've done extensively with entrepreneurs, what would you say are some of the common ways you see business owners getting in our own way or tripping ourselves up when it comes to growing and scaling our businesses? I'm interested from my own personal perspective. What are the big pitfalls to avoid if you had to summarize them?
So there's a few things. One is trying to do everything yourself. I did an Instagram live a few days ago and I've also posted it on LinkedIn. Like, is ego blocking your progress in business?
Because yes, actually, I saw that. I liked that one.
Yeah, because it's a lot of business owners will sit and they don't have all the answers. And instead of going and asking for help or going and getting a coach, joining a group program, whatever it is, they'll just keep pushing through on their own, not knowing what they don't know and relying upon themselves. And actually, just go and get some help. And it doesn't have to be for me specifically. There's a range of places you can get help from. But you don't know what you don't know. And actually, I'd contacted somebody about the program that I'm launching this week. And she said, I'm a self-motivated doer. I don't need any assistance. And I was just like, okay, that's more than fair if that's what you believe. But being a self-motivated doer does not mean that you do not need help. I am one of the most motivated people that I know. I still have a coach because life happens. And actually, there's things that I've had on my to-do list that I haven't got around to doing, not because I'm not motivated and not because I'm not a doer, because I was doing 20,000 other things. And actually, I need a little bit of support to push me. So I think trying to do everything yourself, number one, and also even beyond getting help in that way, one of the things that I was very intentional about very early on in my business, I'm not trying to do everything in my business myself. It doesn't make sense. It's not productive. So each juncture I've said, okay, who do I need to help take me to the next stage? How much is that going to cost? Let me go and get the money so that I've got 3 months worth to pay this person, because once they're in and you give me back that time, then I can make the rest of the money to pay you. And that's what I've consistently done. And I've seen other clients that have done the same thing. Like, actually, I could spend all the time sitting and creating things in Canva and trying to build a website. I remember seeing somebody put on their socials like, oh, it only took me 3 months, but I've built my website. And I'm like, how much time did you waste? And if your time is worth, I don't know, £100 a day, and you've spent 90 days doing that, how much money did you waste when you could have just paid somebody and it would have been done within half of, probably an eighth of the time? So I'm very much about outsourcing, automating, delegating, or what I call, I did it in the wrong order, the ADO process: automate, delegate, outsource. If it doesn't require a human, why are you wasting time doing it manually? Automate it. If it does require a human and it's integral to your business, hire someone, delegate it. If it's not necessarily integral to your business, but it needs to be done, outsource it and get the money to do the things that need to be done. So the second point, so the first thing is trying to do everything yourself. The second point is not going out and getting sales. And it's mad because how are you in business and you're not selling? But I speak to people all the time and I'm like, okay, so how do you get sales? When people come on my website, they book a call. Okay, but how do you go out and get sales? I don't. I'm like, and then you're wondering why your business is not making any money.
Yeah, how
is
your business going to make? And one that even I struggled with.
Yeah, me too.
No one knows that it exists.
Yeah. But if you're waiting and people are not coming, then clearly you need to do something like proactive. You have to be proactive. And then also as a third point, and this is something that I'm going to be honest, all of the coaches that I've worked with over the last few years have told me the same thing. And I tell all of my clients the same thing, but this is a do as I say, not as I do situation. Pricing, not pricing properly. Now, at every point I've raised my prices, I've had a moment of panic, like, oh my gosh, this is a lot. And every time I pay my price, I've put my prices up, within less than a week, somebody will contact me and pay the new price and not bat an eyelid. Every single time. And actually, when you're not pricing properly, what you're doing is you're telling people that you're cheap, that you're low value. And also what you're doing is you're undercutting yourself. So if
you attract the wrong clients.
Yeah, and then you get the annoying people that want you to do everything, but don't want to pay you properly to do it. So yeah, that's another area, not pricing properly and not going out and with this pricing, selling to anybody. And also going back to the original initial thing, vision, not having a clear vision. So just operating at cross purposes. Because you're not going in any particular direction because you don't know which direction you're going in. So you're just doing for doing's sake. And that can really slow down your progress. And I speak to clients every time I do a vision session or even when I have a sales call and I say, oh, do you have a clear vision? Is it documented? They're like, yeah. And I ask two or three questions and it's very clear immediately, actually, you don't. Because saying I want to run a seven-figure business is not a vision. That's a hope and a dream. Saying that I want to operate an international business is not a vision. It's a hope and a dream. There really needs to be clarity. And the vision, even in and of itself on its own, is not effective. You need an action plan to implement. Because
correct.
I can write the best vision
in
the world. But if I...
Yes.
Yeah, if I don't know how to implement or I don't know what I'm implementing, then the year is going to pass and you're going to look back and did you achieve the vision? Well, no, because I didn't know what I was supposed to do.
You didn't do anything. Yeah. Well, you didn't know what you were supposed to do and then you didn't do anything
hoped.
At all.
Yeah, you just hope... It was on a hope and a prayer. And actually, this is why I talk a lot. And I know that there's lots of vision board parties and vision board workshops and all that good stuff. And people always laugh because I get annoyed by them. I don't believe in vision boards on their own. So it's not that I don't believe in vision boards at all. I don't believe in the vision board on its own. Because on its own, a vision board is hope and dreams. Where is the implementation
element? It's just a nice picture.
Element?
Yeah, it's the action. Because I love a vision board. And I love a, you know, I've been to vision board parties and I can see why they are so popular, because there is so much power in, you know, coming together with peers and kind of bouncing off one another and kind of fine tuning what it is exactly that you want to do. But then when you have the vision board, you've got this beautiful collage and you put it up somewhere that you can see it every day. How easy is that just to become part of the furniture?
And
you don't even
happens.
Notice it anymore. And it's just gathering
do
dust
anything.
And you're not doing anything at all towards it. So I completely agree with you about taking action. But then that brings me on to my next question, Daniela, about quitting. Because I think as business owners, and you know, there's been a lot more talk about this recently, but maybe not anywhere near enough. I think as entrepreneurs, and if you have a certain personality type, you will push and push and push. And actually sometimes you might be pushing at a super glued shut door, or you're in the wrong area, or your clients have changed. They don't want what used to be a booming business isn't booming anymore because the clients have changed. And I'm sure there was a lot of that, you know, as we saw during lockdown, for the businesses that were able to be agile, for the businesses that were able to say, gosh, I'm a bricks and mortar retailer, but now I've got to quickly pivot to being able to do this online. Or if you're a service delivery person and you were previously doing it in person, you know, how agile were you in being able to move to Zoom or move to something else, another platform that enabled you to meet your clients wherever they were globally without losing any of that continuity? But equally, there are those situations where actually you can be as agile as you want, but it's just not a goer. How should you know when to change course and quit and when to persevere and await a breakthrough?
Well, I think this is the importance of having external support, because sometimes you're not able to see that. But when you have external support and accountability, that person takes, they look at your business with a fresh eyes and they're less emotionally attached, whereas you're emotive because you want this to succeed above all else, because you've committed time, probably resource to achieve it. So really, I think the main thing is to make sure that you seek good counsel. Like as an entrepreneur, it's so important that you seek good counsel, because it may be that the door is not glued. You're just using the wrong key to open it, and somebody external will be able to give you the right key. And actually, maybe you don't need to quit. But also, I think in addition to having good counsel, you need to have good counsel with yourself. When you don't enjoy doing something anymore, maybe that's the time to quit. Like if you're in a business and it's becoming a chore, and not becoming a chore because you're doing all the right things, but it's becoming a chore because you genuinely don't enjoy it anymore. Like at the point that I'm having client sessions and I'm not feeling full up from doing those client sessions, then I know that it might be time to do something else, because in order for you to succeed in business, you have to be committed. And if you're not enjoying it and it's not bringing you any level of satisfaction anymore, then you're not going to put in what needs to be put in terms of effort and kind of strategy. So I would say, yeah, seeking good counsel externally, but also having those serious conversations with yourself.
Yes, because often we know our instincts will tell us, but how often do we just suppress them or try to ignore the voice that's screaming at you from inside saying, I don't think this is right. We just ignore it. So yeah, that's really good advice. So let's talk about your personal relationship with money then, Daniela. And I suppose how your relationship with money has evolved over time, but then also more specifically, a money win and a money mishap that you might have encountered along the way.
Oh, there's so many money mishaps. one of the things that I often say is my relationship with money is an interesting one. I grew up, I didn't have much money. I came from a working class background. So once I started to get money, I did what most people do when they used to lack. I just spent it frivolously. Because who knows when this is coming again. And that has often been something that I've done. And I've really worked hard the last few years in particular to stop doing that, because it's not productive and it's not a great way of building for my financial future. One of the kind of things that I do though is stuff that taking it out of my control. So doing things like having automatic direct debits for savings, automatic direct debits for investing into certain things. Although if I'm honest, I probably need to do that a little bit better. But taking it outside of my control, so it not being things that I have to stop and do, automating it, because right. You know, I'm about systems.
Again, systems, exactly.
Yeah, I found that to be really useful. And then money win. Well, I've just had a money win this month. It's the last day of the month and I've had my most successful cash month yet ever.
Amazing.
So I'm celebrating that. And that is from, I'd say, getting that external accountability, working with a coach who's really been pushing me to go out and get heavy with doing those LinkedIn outreach and all the stuff that I don't particularly enjoy doing, but I know is important because I tell everybody else to do it. So I've been very excited, and particularly as somebody, as I said, that has come from a background where I've not had much, seeing the numbers in my bank account lately has really had me in my feels like, wow, what a blessing life is. So that's my money win.
I love that, Daniela. And long may that continue. Long may that continue.
Amen.
What does it mean to be a wealthy woman to you? So we talk about this all the time, and we know that, you know, you've just talked about having your best cash month ever on record. So we know that, you know, financial wealth, I never like to trivialize or patronize anyone by saying wealth is about more than just money. Yes, wealth is about more than just money, but we still need money, right? So this is not a conversation about does money buy happiness. This is a conversation about recognizing, as we said at the start of this, we're not trying to push ourselves off a cliff in pursuit of financial riches, because there are so many other aspects that of our lives that can make us wealthy. What does being a wealthy woman mean to you?
Being able to spend money on whatever I want, whenever I want, without having to worry about it. That literally is what I am striving for. Like, I don't want to have to think, oh, can I afford that? Oh, is that too extravagant? Oh, is this a poor choice? I want to just decide and spend. And that to me is what wealth feels like. But also knowing that I can go to bed and I'm going to wake up and there's going to be money, extra money in my account that wasn't there before I went to sleep. And that's going to happen every day. That is what wealthiness looks and feels like. If I decide I don't want to work for 6 months because I just don't want to, I can. If my daughter wants to go to university. I don't have to be scrimping and saving, thinking, oh my gosh, where am I going to get the money from? The money is there. If my other daughter wants to get a house, I can say, here's your deposit, go do whatever it is that you want to do. If they want to set up a business, here is your startup finance from me. That is what wealthy looks and feels like, not being worried about the cost of things.
I love that. And I love how specific it is as well, Daniela. I love the idea. I literally see you, already a boss lady, but you know, when your daughters are adults, being able to say, I was going to say, here's a check. Like, who deals with checks anymore? But anyway, outside of being check. But like, you know, being able to say, here's the money that I've transferred to you or transferred to wherever it needs to be transferred, and it's just done. You don't even need to think about it. Or your daughter's having that level of confidence to be like, yeah, mom's got this. I love that. So my last question then, before we move on to our quickfire round, it's gone so quickly, is about how you have made it rain in your own life. So, you know, we talk all the time about let's make it rain here at Rain Check. And by that, I mean, you know, what are some of the ways that we as rainmakers are making it rain in our own lives every day and effecting transformational change through our own effort, our grit, our determination, our positive disposition, whatever it is, we are making it rain all the time. And I think one of the beauties of the Rainmaker community is that we can remind one another where we are in a slump or where we are unable to see clearly ourselves. You've kind of alluded to it already in this conversation about the importance of having good counsel, but also the importance of being surrounded by the right sorts of influences that can give you the key where you might feel the door is super glued shut, recognizing actually, no, Dav, you just got the wrong key. Here's the right key. But we need to recognize that we are able to do that for ourselves at times and that we have that self-reliance. Can you share an example of when you have made it rain in your own life? I feel like you're making it rain all the time. You've shared already so many examples, but an example that's made you particularly proud.
It's been this year. I looked at, not yesterday, the day before, I looked at my CRM system and looking at my reports and from this year, time last year, so from April 2023. And I could see from April 2023, the cash was going down. And then it dipped completely in September. And then from October, it started to come back up. And then by the time it's got to April, it's been a complete upward trajectory. I'd had a baby in September. And my business has grown month on month since September. Despite the fact that I have a new baby that did not sleep for about 4 months straight from January, it's only till April now that she started to sleep properly. So that is how I've made it rain. I got committed to what I wanted to achieve. I went and got the support, guidance, accountability that I needed. I've ensured that I've stayed clear on my vision and continued to work towards it. I've really jumped outside my comfort zone and done things that I don't particularly like doing, but I know is going to bring me the outcome that I need and I want, and I've achieved it this month already. And I know that it's going to continue to grow each month, particularly as the baby gets older and I get a little bit more freedom. I can see that I'm going to yield great results from what I've started this year. So yeah, like being really convicted, and what I always speak about, big boss energy, really embodying big boss energy. And this idea of continuing to think big, take action and keep pushing. Because honestly, I say it all the time, and sometimes I've said it flippantly in the past, but I've really had to draw on that this year to this really like think big, take action, and above all, keep pushing. Because there's times where I'm just like, I'm tired. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. But do you want to go to Jamaica? Okay then, so we're going to keep on moving. How do we do this smarter? So who do I need to pay to get this done quickly? Because I don't have the energy to do it. And that's what I've been doing.
Amazing. And I'm sure there are many moms and non-moms that are listening that can attest to the fatigue of it all, but also that determination when you were clear on what you were striving towards. So yeah, I'm sure it's what you've shared is something that we could all be proud about. So thank you so much for sharing. And Daniela, thank you so much for your time today. An hour has gone by super quickly. Where can people connect with you, work with you, or find out more?
They can go to my website, which is bethebossintl.com. There's lots of resources on there. We've got blogs. There's a quiz that you can take about what's holding your business back from achieving phenomenal growth. And you get personalized results at the end of doing that quiz. I also spend way too much time on Instagram, which is @BeTheBossINTL. And my personal Instagram is at She's the Boss UK, although I locked myself out for the last few months, so I'm back on it now. And then LinkedIn, spending much more time on LinkedIn, at Daniella Genus on LinkedIn.
Brilliant. Daniella, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Hi everyone, Davinia here. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If any of what you heard resonated and you'd like to find out more about how Raincheck is helping women all over the world build sustainable long-term wealth, then visit our website at raincheck.com and join the mailing list for more commentary, tips and opinion on how you can start taking steps to leveling up your financial well-being today. You can follow us on social media at Raincheck, and don't forget to share, like, rate, review and subscribe. See you next time.